You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.
Good morning, 15 minutes away from 6, you're with Grant Edwards. Let's go to New Zealand News first of all and check out, see what's happening there. The Court of Appeal has overturned a High Court decision to set aside a summons to Children's Minister Karen Kaur to appear before the Waitangi Tribunal. The Tribunal has issued a summons for Kilgore to give evidence and answer questions about the government's decision to appeal Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, the Ministry for Children. The High Court has ruled that Kaur could not be compelled to appear, but the Court of Appeal has now overruled that decision. The Tribunal's inquiry found that the proposed repeal could harm vulnerable children and breach treaty principles. Labour has criticised the repeal bill, calling it callous, while ACT has accused the Tribunal of overstepping its authority and becoming too activist. Media company The Centrist says the Ministry for Children may be neglecting the safety of children, as evidenced by the international injury rates, which rose 45% to almost 1,300 acts from 2022 to 2023. They say data from Health New Zealand appears to confirm it is disproportionately Maori children being hospitalised due to domestic violence. New Zealand explores options for citizens stranded in riot-torn New Caledonia. Amidst deadly riots in New Caledonia, the New Zealand government is considering all options to assist stranded citizens, including potential Air Force or commercial airline evacuations. Foreign Minister Winston Peters stresses the priority on safety and staying in place while addressing food and travel challenges faced by New Zealanders on the island. Peru's government has officially classified transgender, non-binary and intersex people as mentally ill. The country's Ministry of Health says the move is so that public health services could guarantee full coverage of medical attention for mental health for LGBTQ plus people who need it. Peru's Ministry of Health claims the policy change is to enable healthcare coverage for transsexual people and people with gender identity disorders, particularly in private clinics. Before the latest move, lawmakers had changed reference to gender equality in school textbooks following protests over the texts encouraging young people to have freedom to choose their sexual orientation. According to Human Rights, who call the move bigoted, they say the decree employs obsolete classifications related to gender identity and sexual orientation. They cite the World Health Organization, which in 2019 declared its International Manual for Diagnosis would no longer refer to transgenderism as a mental disorder. MPs have attacked the Waitangi Tribunal's increasing activist approach. The Waitangi Tribunal is facing renewed criticism from senior ministers, including ACT leader David Seymour and New Zealand First Shane Jones. According to ACT MP Todd Stevenson, the increasingly activist tribunal appears to regard itself as a parallel government that can intervene in the elected government's policy-making processes. However, treaty and legal experts within Māoridom argue the tribunal was currently fulfilling its 1975 mandate. The coalition agreement has included in it a review aiming to realign the tribunal with its original intent. The tribunals urgently require one of six since the National Led Coalition took power of proposed changes to the Oranga Tamariki Act. The Ministry for Children has been particularly thorny. Seymour has suggested winding up the tribunal, while Jones has called for a review to refocus its scope. He accuses it of running a kind of wannabe American star chamber folk a pulp fiction gig in comments to Wātea News. Supporters argue that despite criticism, the tribunal's role in addressing historical grievances and informing the public on treaty issues is crucial. Yet Radio New Zealand journalist Alice Stewart admits it's all up to the stormy outlook for the tribunal and its work. The government's Maori ward plan may breach the Treaty of Waitangi. According to the Treaty of Waitangi, the Waitangi Tribunal, which claims that the government's plan to require referendums on Maori wards undermines Maori representation and exposes communities to prejudice. The tribunal wants the amendment process halted and for the government to consult with Maori. Overseas, and officials in Slovakia are investigating whether the attacker who shot the Prime Minister was not a lone wolf. The Internal Affairs Minister, Matus Istok, issued the update on Sunday after the suspect was previously believed to be a lone wolf. The team for the Prime Minister, Robert Fico, says his condition is no longer life-threatening but is still very serious. Deputy Prime Minister Robert Kalanak issued the update 4 days after the assassination attempt on the populist leader. The 59-year-old Prime Minister was shot multiple times on Wednesday in an attack that raised fresh concerns over the polarisation of politics in the Central European country of 5.4 million. And that's the news. We'll be back with weather in just a moment.
For those who crave more than just reading headlines in their social media feeds.
People need to wake up.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
9 minutes away from six, you're with Grant Edwards on The World Gone Mad. The short forecast for New Zealand for firstly Auckland, Northland and Coromandel. Mainly fine this evening, cloudy periods with a few showers tomorrow, rain spreading south from afternoon, with some heavy falls possible in Northland. For Waikato to the Bay of Plenty, also for the Horopanua, fine weather for you today, areas of fog tomorrow morning. For Gisborne, Hawke's Bay and the Wairarapa, mostly cloudy, a few showers in Hawke's Bay and Gisborne, and isolated showers in Wairarapa. For Kapiti to Wellington, also Marlborough and Nelson, long fine spells today. For Buller and Westland, mostly cloudy with periods of rain in Westland and the odd shower about Buller. Remaining rain clearing from Westland tomorrow morning and becoming fine. For Canterbury, partly cloudy, isolated showers from tomorrow afternoon. Otago, Southland and Fiordland, mainly fine this evening, today I should say, scattered rain tomorrow. For the Chatham Islands, cloudy periods. And it's 8 minutes away from six. We'll be back with New Zealand history on this day, the 20th of May.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
And the place for talkback and news internationally is tntradio.live. That's where you'll find them, tntradio.live. If you're wondering why I'm wincing a bit today, I had an accident on Saturday, fell onto a pile of wood and put a gash in the back of my head after I hit the table, and I found myself sort of becoming conscious underneath, you sort of coming back to life again underneath the table, and engines running and all sorts of things happening, and it seems I've broken some ribs. It feels like it anyway. Can't really cough, can't laugh, can't yell at the dog, and can't yell at the wife if I had one. Ooh, can't laugh. So that's why I'm probably a wee bit subdued today. So what did I say we're doing? We're doing history. Today in history. I'll be back in a break, after the break. In a smack.
From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, we are back here with me, and on this day in history, the 20th of May in 1773, New Zealand's first sheep were released here in New Zealand. During the second visit to New Zealand in 1773, Captain James Cook released a ewe and a ram in Queen Charlotte Sound. They survived only a few days, an auspicious start. To the country's long association with sheep. Also, in 1865 on this day, the loss of the City of Dunedin, not the entire city, but the ship, the paddle steamer City of Dunedin, left Wellington at 5 o'clock on Saturday night on the 20th of May, and it was never heard from again, and no trace was ever found of the 4 dozen people on board. In 1870, Pacific labourers arrived in Auckland. New Zealand received its first known shipload of labourers from the Pacific Islands when the clipper schooner Lulu docked in the Waitemata Harbour. And finally, on this day in 1941, German paratroopers land on the island of Crete. The Battle of Crete raged for 12 days before the Allies were driven off the island. Casualties were high on both sides, and more than 650 New Zealanders were killed and 2,000 taken prisoner. Well, that's this day in history, the 20th of May, 2024. It's 5 minutes away from six.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Coming up after six, we'll hear from Paul Weston. Paul Weston, he's got a very interesting analysis of the payments that were made to MPs and medical people during the COVID pandemic. And we'll find out that all roads lead, it's follow the money, basically. All roads lead to Rome. So we'll do that straight after the news headlines. Next up, we'll go to onenews.co.nz and see what's on their front page.
Hey, why not give TNT Radio a follow? We sure would love you to do that. We're on all the social, major social platforms, including, of course, Facebook, Twitter, now X, Instagram, Gab, and Getter, among others. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Oh, excuse me. Every now and then it bites. And yeah, I just did it right then when the mic went on. Sorry about that, folks. It could be one of those mornings. Right, let's go to front page news for Radio New Zealand. No, onenews.co.nz. Number plate images used by police for any number of purposes. Officers tap into either of two privately owned ANPR systems several hundred times a day. The documents have shown. Other headlines for onenews.co.nz. A report says that 17% of items at recycling facilities end up in landfills. The new report has found nearly a fifth of the items put into our recycling bins last year were taken to the dump due to contamination. And a company making cowless dairy products given the green light, Auckland-based Daisy Labs used genetically modified organisms to create milk protein. However, there are concerns about what will happen to the dairy industry here in New Zealand. 2 minutes away from six. The New Zealand Defence Force contingent mark 80 years since the Battle of Monte Cassino. The Italian campaign cost the lives of 230 members of the 28th Maori Battalion who still remain buried at Cassino. No mention of the non-Maori in that article. Sadly, one dead after a serious three-vehicle crash near Rotorua. The police said the crash was reported at around 3:15 on Sunday. And in sport, the Black Ferns slipped to third in the world rankings after Canada lost. The Canadian side beat New Zealand for the first time, claiming the Pacific Four Series title. And Fiji could become a nation of zombies under the weight of a methamphetamine. Fiji is grappling with a methamphetamine crisis that has infiltrated every part of society, from villages, schools, and something else, but they left it out. A police officer has been stabbed twice in the head in Sydney, downtown Sydney. A knife-wielding 33-year-old man was arrested and taken into the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital for assessment. Hang on. Police officer stabbed, and the knife-wielding 33-year-old man was arrested and taken to Royal Prince Albert Hospital for assessment. I don't know whether that's a mental assessment. We'll have a look and see. It's 6 o'clock. See if it was that. It says the police say the officer was performing traffic duties with another officer on the corner of Castlereagh Street and Park Street in Sydney CBD when they were approached by a 33-year-old alleged attacker. The man allegedly produced a 30-centimetre-long kitchen-style knife and stabbed the male officer two or three times in the back of the head. The injured officer and female officer chased the man to nearby Hyde Park, where he was tasered and restrained with the assistance of other police. There we are, so that's the gist of that one. In sport, the Warriors knock off the Panthers in the thriller. Stand-in fullback Tane Tuaupiki is the hero of the Warriors as they break a four-match losing streak. 706 Kyles gather in the US. What are they? US, yet it's not enough for a world record. Another attempt by the city of Kyle, Texas, to break the world record for the longest gathering of people. I have to click on that as well, I suppose, if we want to find out. Sorry about this, folks. So how many people named Kyle can fit? Oh, I see. The name Kyle fit into one place for one Texas city. Not enough. Another attempt by the city of Kyle, Texas. Remember we had all that. The crown is currently held by a town in Bosnia that got 2,325 people named Ivan together in 2017, according to the World Guinness Book of Records. Unexplained, a man found dead near Invercargill intersection. The police were alerted to a death at 9:25 this morning. Is that this morning? Yesterday morning. Live animal exports. The government says it wants the gold standard of care. Agriculture Minister Todd McClay said officials would be implementing the gold standard and very high standards to animal health. Government policies tailored for the wealthy, not the people, according to the Green Party co-leaders Marima Davidson and Chloe Schwalbrick. They gave their annual Statement of the Planet speech on Sunday. And the District Attorney Office in the United States unable to charge Diddy over the Casey hotel assault. Security video appears to show Coombs attacking the singer Casey in a hotel hallway in 2016. One seriously injured after a vehicle motorbike crash in Hawke's Bay. Emergency services were notified of the incident in Sydney Street in Takapau at around 2 p.m. to yesterday afternoon. Now, what else we got? Trump receives the NRA endorsement as he vows to protect the Second Amendment. Trump pledges to continue to defend gun rights, which he claims is under siege, and has called himself, what has he called himself? Sorry about this. Yes, we're a bit late this morning. What does he call himself? I don't know. He's the hero. He's the man who's going to save America, I suppose. Now we've got other. Now a kit helicopter, one of those what do you call them? Sort of a home built job. Two people injured after a kit chopper suffered rough landing in Northland. The people on board the home built helicopter suffered moderate injuries, according to St John's Ambulance. There are other stories they have over at onenews.co.nz. They talk about, as we did in the news, the Slovakian MP's suspected would-be assassin. He's ordered detained. Prime Minister Robert Fico was shot, we know that. I better give you some, see if they've got some update on that. The man accused of attempting to assassinate Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico was ordered to remain behind bars, as the nation's leader was in serious but stable condition after surviving multiple gunshots, officials said. The Slovakian Specialist Criminal Court ordered the detention of the suspect after prosecutors said they feared that he could flee or carry out other crimes if set free, according to a spokesperson. The suspect can appeal the order to the Supreme Court. It seems that they're also investigating, according to our report we had just before six, and that is that he might not be a lone wolf. They always go for the lone wolf thing, don't they? All right, we'll be back with some more news from some of the other publications in just a moment. It's almost a 6:05.
Radio works because of its ability to personalize to the listener.
What's exciting these days is that people are rediscovering it. You know, people are really rediscovering just how powerful radio is, how ubiquitous it is. It's in our cars. It's in our homes. There are so many new ways to access it. It's everywhere.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
You're with Grant Edwards on The World Gone Mad, and we're at One Radio New Zealand, I should say. You'll find them at rnz.co.nz. And their stories are backlash as UK supermarket trials New Zealand lamb. The UK grocery chain has received a backlash from angry farmers as it trials the sale of New Zealand lamb instead of a 100% British lamb in 39 of its stores. New Caledonia unrest rocks the French politics. An analysis here at Radio New Zealand. A police crackdown will be followed by a dialogue mission to help heal the wounds of the Pacific Territory. Fears back home, fears that Queenstown homeless problem is about to snowball. An advocate for homeless people in Queenstown is worried that the resort town will see an influx of hundreds of people sleeping in tents this winter. And in brief, the government policies rely on catchphrase, ignore urgent needs of people on planet, according to the Greens. Greens are taking aim at the coalition government's policies, saying they lack genuine care. Back with the New Caledonian unrest, Defence Force to bring New Zealanders home. Foreign Affairs Minister Winston Peters says New Zealand is waiting for the go-ahead from the French authorities based on safety. Dairy owners say they have been ignored for years. The new government's promise law and order changes need to happen faster, according to a spokesperson. And that looks to be most of the news that Radio New Zealand have. And we'll go to the Otago Daily Times right after the break.
For great-looking T-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real, dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, 7 TNT.
Yeah, the place to be, and 6:07, and we'll have Robert Weston coming up very shortly.
My dream of Cindy. This teleplay is based on a dream, but one we all wish we never needed to have. Any resemblance of the characters to any person living or dead is a purely coincidental.
And now that I have gotten the virtual signalling out of the way, I have a confession to make. My time as New Zealand Prime Minister was a complete bust. I made millions of dollars pushing the Pfizer jabs onto 90% of the useless eaters. I lied and I cheated, but I made it happen. That was because I was granted the honour of being the single source of truth. However, I have a further confession to make. My words weren't the truth, but by Satan, it made me fucking rich. In New Zealand, the real source of truth is Kelvin Alp, Hannah Spearer, and the team at Counterspin Media. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, do not listen to me. Instead, listen to Counterspin Media at counterspinmedia.com. And while you're there, make a huge donation to help relieve me of my guilt. Go to counterspinmedia.com.
Counterspinmedia.com. Where lies come to die.
6:08, you're with Grant Edwards on The World Gone Mad, and we're at the Otago Daily Times. You'll find them at odt.co.nz, and their top stories are the government policies tailored for the wealthy, according to the Greens. Greens are taking aim at the coalition government's policies, saying they lack genuine care. Defence Force to bring Kiwis home from New Caledonia. The Defence Force will fly into New Caledonia to bring home New Zealanders while commercial services are not operating. Rule change to protect power lines from being hit by trees. The rules are changing to make it easier for lines companies to remove trees near power lines in hopes of preventing outages during high winds and storms. Hundreds of pro-trans protests in Wellington, at least 500 people, many carrying rainbow flags and placards, have gathered for a pro-trans solidarity rally in central Wellington. one dead after a motorcycle crash in Rolleston. Police have confirmed that one person has died following a single motorcycle crash on Jones Road, Rolleston, yesterday morning. No plans for the government to change tack, according to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon. He's fronted and unapologetic in defence of the National's first months in power, its pace of change and its commitment to tax relief. Trans attempted surgery on self at home. A transgender young person attempted to perform top surgery on himself or herself as a clear result of historical underfunding and inequitable access to gender-affirming healthcare, says experts. Government plans for Marie Ward's breach of the treaty report. We had that in our news just before six. The government plans to require local councils to hold a referendum on whether to have Marie Ward's breaches, whether it breaches the Treaty of Waitangi, a Waitangi Tribunal report has found. All Black great Sid Going has died. The former All Black Sid Going has died aged 80. A driver who accidentally killed a son avoids conviction. A man who allegedly killed his young son while reversing his work van has been discharged without conviction. Full details on that story at odt.co.nz, the Otago Daily Times. Murder charge dropped in stabbing death. A murder charge laid against a man accused of killing another man at Christchurch's City Mission has been dropped on the grounds of self-defence. A surfer recounts a close brush with death. Renowned summer surfer Tony Schaefer was counting down the days until he can get back on his board after he suffered a heart attack and nearly drowned. You do have to wonder, don't you, whether, you know, someone young like that has been jabbed. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The number of heart attacks and strokes and blood clots, it's just getting beyond a joke. But still, the mainstream media and the politicians are running for cover and just pretending it's not happening. More news, and colds and flu are on the rise due to the vaccinations, no doubt. There has been an increase in cold and flu illness, but COVID-19 cases have been around all summer and are expected to spike. And if you listen to our Liberty NZ special with Dr. Kerry Mullis, the late Kerry Mullis, I think it's the next one back. It's a full interview that he did in 1996. Have a listen to that and you'll have some idea on these PCR tests. He's the inventor of PCR. He says that Fauci and others don't know what they're doing. And I personally find it suspicious that he had a heart attack just months before the first case in 2020. And he would be one of the greatest critics of the World Health Organization and people like Fauci, and I think also people like Ashley Bloomfield as well. He'd be against them. He said they don't have our interest at heart, and it's all about the money. All right, so nearly 1,300 Kāinga Ora homes on hold amid government review. Kāinga Ora, I believe, is Housing New Zealand. They has stopped plans to build nearly 1,300 homes while it awaits the outcome of government review and the budget. And that's the news from the Otago Daily Times. And we'll be back with Paul Wesson, right after the break. It's 14 minutes past six, and you're with Grant Edwards on The World Gone Mad.
I'm Paul Weston. Now, how unsurprising was it to discover that the COVID-19 vaccine fanatic Dr. Ranjit Singh, or Dr. Ranj as he was known on the telly, was on the AstraZeneca payroll to the tune of £22,500. And when the AstraZeneca jab was first pulled from the market in Britain, Dr. Ranj expressed great dismay, and the following clip was filmed before his corruption came to light.
So why is there this massive reaction all of a sudden?
If you're prone to clotting, is it something you need to be worried about, or do you just go, this has got nothing to do with it, stop worrying?
There is no evidence that the vaccinations increase your risk of clots.
Instagram doctors were all over our TV in 2021 telling us lies. Here is BBC regular Dr. Sarah Kayat, yet another one of these permanently excited vaccine fanatics with mad eyes.
Well, what's really excellent is, and it's a statistic that I think should be shouted from the rooftops, is that after 12 days from the first vaccination of the AstraZeneca vaccine, you are 100% effective against hospitalisation and death. So, you know, those are the statistics we need to be hearing.
And yes, why haven't we heard that before?
Well, here I am.
Dear God, the stupidity, the lies, and most importantly, the childishness of these dreadful people. And another TV doctor was Sarah Jarvis, Dr. Jarvis, who cropped up all over the telly, notably on the particularly revolting Jeremy Vine show. And Dr. Jarvis took £65,000 from Big Pharma between 2020 and 2023, and £4,500 of that came from AstraZeneca. Here she is interviewed in 2021.
And 5 to 11-year-olds can now receive the COVID vaccination. What is your reaction to that? Is that the way forwards?
I think it is important that young people are vaccinated because they can pass it on, particularly to older and really vulnerable people. We know that the vaccine has a very, very low incidence of side effects.
What I find so disgusting about this doctor is her willingness to damage children in return for money. And a circulating virus is an act of nature. Old and ill people naturally die from such natural things. But children were at no risk from COVID-19, so deliberately injecting them with a vaccine with known dangerous side effects is not an act of nature, it's an act of man. And promoting and supporting such an action is an act of the devil. Now, Dr. Jarvis wittered on about rare side effects, but what does rare actually mean in medical terminology? Well, it means anything between 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10,000. So if 10 million children are vaccinated, it means somewhere between 1,000 to 10,000 of them will suffer side effects, and that's up to and including death, maiming and long-term injury. In normal times, doctors do not actively promote the guaranteed damage of children in the hope that it might help to protect the elderly. It is absolutely against all medical ethics, and it grinds the Hippocratic oath of first do no harm into the dust. Any doctor capable of using their position to promote the damage of children in return for money should not just be struck off the medical register, they should be arrested, prosecuted, and jailed. And only a few decades ago, they might well have been hanged. And on that note, I come to ITV's Dr. Hilary Jones. Now, here he is in December 2021, lying to a particularly credulous woman who repeats his lies whilst clapping like a seal.
So, you know, those people who haven't been vaccinated, we'd really love you to think again.
Please.
And be vaccinated, because 90% of people in hospital are unvaccinated right now with COVID.
That's a really figure that we have to really concentrate on. Yep. 90% of people in hospital have not been vaccinated. Yep.
I say lies because, according to NHS statistics, only 36% of hospital patients were unvaccinated at that time, rather than 90%. And this misinformation or disinformation was not picked up by Ofcom. You will be equally unsurprised to hear. Why was Dr. Hilary Jones so dishonestly keen on getting the vaccine into all of us? And why did Dr. Hilary set up Frontline Doctors Limited in December 2021? What did he promise his investors, who stumped up some £1.25 million to this slippery doctor? And was it something to do with the stratospheric rise in the share price of companies manufacturing the very COVID vaccines pushed by Dr. Hillary? And here is Dr. David Strain arguing with the very good and decent Professor Angus Dalgleish on GB News about jabbing 5 to 11-year-olds. And Dr. Strain is the typically mad-eyed creature on the right. And I won't bore you with the entire video. It's linked in the description box below. But how much blood money did Dr. Strain take from Big Pharma? £140,000. Over 3 years, £23,000 from AstraZeneca. And sadly, it's not just individual doctors who are wickedly corrupt, it's the entire British medical institution in their entirety. In 2023, the UK Health Security Agency, previously known as Public Health England before it was militarised, along with so much else post-COVID, put out a video featuring Dr. Nurina Abdul Aziz, which encouraged pregnant women to take the mRNA vaccine in order to protect their babies. Now, again, this sort of unprecedented advice is so far removed from standard medical practice, it caused me to wonder why the UK HSA could possibly recommend such a thing. Well, here's your answer. Between 2020 to 2023, the UK HSA accepted around £500,000 from Big Pharma, a lot of it from Pfizer. And here's the University College London Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, which took over £1 million from Big Pharma over the COVID years, and notably from Pfizer and AstraZeneca. And what of the NHS itself? You know, delving into the database revealed an absolute horror show of corruption. Here are the three opening pages of named doctors involved in consultancy work for Big Pharma. And here's a page of Abdul's. Now let's take a random Abdul and see what comes up. I'll pick Abdul Jahangir, top right. There you go. Close to £4,000 from AstraZeneca. I could go on. There are hundreds of these pages and thousands of doctors' names, and finding one without Pfizer or AstraZeneca payments is no mean achievement. The corruption is off the scale. Now, why doesn't Britain's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, do something about this corruption, you might ask? And the answer is because the MHRA received over £13 million from Bill Gates over the last few years. Why doesn't the British media tell you about this medical scandal? Answer, because the BBC, Daily Telegraph, Guardian, etc. all receive multi-million pound funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that's not to mention that the media watchdog Ofcom is run by Dame Melanie Dawes, who is firmly in bed with the World Economic Forum, including their countering digital hate censorship vehicle, where hate actually means inconvenient truth. And Melanie Dawes, of course, was behind the removal of genuine truth teller Mark Stein from GB News. So why doesn't the British government do something about our corrupt health industry, you might ask? And the answer, sadly, is that most of the politicians may well be deeply corrupt as well. I mean, look at them here, scurrying out of the House of Commons when the brave and honourable MP Andrew Bridgen stood to talk about vaccine damage. Take note of the white-haired chap whose skedaddles bent almost double after instructing other MPs to leave the floor.
Andrew Bridgen. Mr. Deputy Speaker, on the 13th of December last year, I was kindly granted an adjournment debate on the potential harms that emergency use experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines cause. It's fair to say that night my life changed.
What a truly disgusting shower these politicians are, and one wonders how many of them are on Big Pharma's payroll. And the skedaddling MP, by the way, is the Right Honourable Andrew Mitchell. Right Honourable. What a perverse description that is. And here he is with vaccine billionaire Bill Gates and here again with Bill Gates at a Gavi conference. And Gavi, incidentally, is the Gates-funded Vaccine Alliance, a public-private organization which pretty much controls global vaccines alongside the World Health Organization. And here is the Right Honourable Andrew Mitchell with WHO head honcho Tedros Ghebreyesus. So why doesn't British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak do something about corrupt British politicians? And well, the answer is that he might possibly be corrupt as well. You know, here he is talking about vaccines.
To what he was more broadly insinuating, let me be unequivocal from this dispatch box that COVID vaccines are safe, Mr. Speaker.
There are so many lies and so many crimes around all of this. And if we lived in a true democracy, our courts would be crammed and our prisons overflowing with doctors, politicians, scientists and journalists by now. And the fact that they aren't is testament to the sheer terrifying scale of globalist power. You know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And during COVID, during the pandemic, They had absolute power, and every institution has been corrupted absolutely. When Dr. Joseph Mengele carried out experiments on Jewish children in concentration camps, he carried out this crime as their sworn enemy. And one has to wonder who is worse, Mengele or British politicians, health institutions and doctors, who in return for a blood-soaked check from the devil are dizzyingly excited to kill, maim and injure children they swore on ancient oath to protect. I published a book recently exposing all things COVID-19. It's succinct and easy to read. The link's in the description box below, and it would make an ideal gift for friends and family who are coming round to our way of thinking about the pandemic, but are short on the absolute details. Finally, if Andrew Bridgen, Dr. John Campbell or Russell Brand happen to come across this video, could I ask them to contact me via direct message on Skype? And my address is in the description box below, along with my Rumble video account. Thank you very much.
Paul Weston there, 27 minutes past six. You're with Grant Edwards on The World Gone Mad. We'll have a slight break now, another break, a bit of a music break, and then we'll come back with stuff and look at a story that they've got that I was having a look at during that, revealing chat with Paul Weston.
I think I fell in love today. He thinks it's too soon to say, but my heart told me so. I don't know exactly how it happened. It kind of felt like magic. I guess when you know, you know. 'Cause love don't have any rules. When gravity starts to pull you closer to another, from a friend to a lover, looks like forever in his eyes. That don't happen all the time, but when it does, it changes everything. I think I fell in love today. I'm sure he saw it on my face, 'cause I couldn't break my smile. Yeah, the stars weren't lined up in a row. There was no fireworks show, but in that moment he was mine. 'Cause love don't have any rules. When gravity starts to pull you closer to another, from a friend to a lover, looks like today. I'm sure I've never felt this way with you. but I think you may just feel the same. So baby, won't you say you love me too?
No Farmers, No Food, Will You Eat the Bugs? Is the first documentary to explore how the UN's 2030 agenda is putting farmers out of business and how these global green policies are disrupting the food supply. We're also investigating how the global green solution is to eat the bugs.
I hope that people watch this film with an open mind. We haven't been told the truth.
People need to wake up. Idle 30% of our land before the year 2030. That's only phase one. Phase two is 50-50.
It's a massive taking. It's a massive taking of land internationally. And it's not about conservation. It's about control.
You start to see that what they're actually promoting is being implemented in countries across the world, and you can see the detrimental effects that it's having.
All you have to do is listen to what the players of the Great Reset are planning, because they're very easily tell you, and as the film shows, they expose their agenda, and we get to see how it impacts real people, and more importantly, we get to see how they're fighting back.
Nobody has the right to tell somebody what they can and can't eat. That's a personal decision. And so this is not a political issue. It's a personal issue that everybody needs to get interested in and help us retain the freedoms of Americans to make these choices.
So this attack is something that I think everybody impacts everybody, and so they should be watching this movie.
This is a phenomenal film which is premiering on September 25th on Epic TV at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, it's 28 minutes away from 7. You're with Grant Edwards and The World Gone Mad. And coming up after Jordan Peterson, we'll go to Stuff and look at the main story there in just a moment.
I read recently, I think it was some TikTok thing I saw, but it was an old business guy, and he was saying, you know, the real definition of success in life is not money or material things or anything like that. The real definition of success is if you're a father and your kids, when they become adults and therefore can make their own decisions, choose to hang out with you because they want to hang out with you. That's the ultimate definition of success. What do you think of that theory?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, I would say I feel that acutely. I would say my wife feels that even more acutely. Like, she's so thrilled if her kids want to hang out with her, if they want to do, you know, committed things with her, that she can hardly stand it. And I mean, this is also one of the great advantages of having a family. People just don't understand this. There isn't anything more important that you will have in your life than your kids, period.
Jordan Peterson there, 28 minutes or 27 minutes away from 7. And we're over at Stuff. You'll find them at stuff.co.nz. The murderer of teacher Lois Dear in her Tokoroa classroom 18 years ago shocked the country. Now her killer, Wetu Tihiko, becomes eligible for release. Her son, Kevin McNeil, vows to do all he can to keep him incarcerated. And we've got a video clip here. I hope it's loud enough for you. Let's see.
My mother was murdered in Tokoroa, July the 16th, 2006, by Wetu Tihiko. And this guy is attempting to come up against the parole board in July, the start of July, 3rd of July, I think it is. I'm really hoping that this doesn't happen. Mum was killed in her classroom at Strathmore Primary School. Killed in a classroom of all. I think it should be a sacred place. So we don't really want this guy running around the streets amongst us all anymore, you know. I reckon the parole board really need to take a good look at what they want to release.
Sorry about that. I don't seem to be able to get that any louder. So I'll give you a bit of an idea. Kevin McNeil, he is a tough bloke. He drives trucks, he wears shorts in winter, and he shoots from the hip with his comments on crime. But he can still be brought to tears by what happened to his mother 18 years ago and breaks down when asked about the impact. Composing himself, he says it's been a lifetime of impact. And, it's very sad. But I'm sorry I can't give you a bit louder one from Stuff over there. And my computer seems to be running a wee bit sort of sluggish at the moment. So you'll find that story in depth at stuff.co.nz. After the break, we'll have a look at international news headlines, and then I will give you our news bulletin as well, and all before 7:15.
Most countries in the world vote against Israel in the United Nations. Are they all wrong?
Yes. If you consider the fact that you have Iran and you have China and you have Venezuela that are all condemning Israel for human rights violations, it just reflects the reality and the absurdity of what the United Nations is all about. You know, they figured it out. As long as you batter a light coat of anti-Semitism sentiment and you flash fry it and you pretend that you are caring about human rights, then anti-Semitism becomes socially acceptable. But to be sure, hating Jews is no longer socially or politically correct. So hating Israel has become the new politically correct way to hate Jews. Our response has to be that we not care about what they say on CNN and the New York Times or wherever else besides. As Jews, we're not afraid to be different. It's better to be a hero walking in one direction than with the crowd walking in the wrong direction. So regardless of what they say and regardless of what they do, remember, I'm Yisrael Chai.
And smokers that had a high omega-3 index, so they were smoking, but they were also eating a lot of fish, supplementing with fish oil. They had an 8% omega-3 index. They had the same life expectancy as non-smokers with a low omega-3 index. In other words, smoking was like being deficient in omega-3. I was just like, I was blown away by that. Like,
oh, I'm blown away by that too. 24 minutes away from 7, you're with Grant Edwards, and we're over at apnews.com looking at their front page. Helicopter carrying Iran's hardline president apparently crashes in foggy mountainous region. The helicopter carrying the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, and other officials apparently crashed in northwest mountainous area of the country. Taiwan's new president inherits a strong foreign policy position, but political gridlock at home. These are just the headlines. An airstrike kills 27 in central Gaza, and as fighting rages as the Israeli leaders are increasingly divided. The US National Security Advisor, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince, meet to discuss semi-final security deal. And other news from apnews.com. Dominicans vote in general election with eyes on crisis in neighboring Haiti. Voters in the Dominican Republic are casting ballots in general election is likely to reinforce the government's crackdown on its shared border with crisis-stricken Haiti. Venezuelan opposition presidential candidate Gonzalez seeks unity in first rally. The candidate and the Venezuela's chief opposition coalition has sought to cultivate a mood of hope and possibility in a large rally that marked the start of the campaign he admittedly never imagined leading. And other news, water cannon used to disperse anti-government protesters in Tel Aviv. Authority used the water cannon to disperse anti-government protesters. The protesters were demanding the release of all hostages held in Gaza, calling for new elections, and also calling for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to resign. Robert Fico, Slovakia's Prime Minister, we know was shot after the political event on Wednesday last week, an episode of violence that punctuated his decade-long career in politics. At apnews.com, they have a story there on who Robert Fico is. We know he's a populist Slovakian prime minister. He was wounded in the shooting, having previously served twice as prime minister from 2006 to 2010 and again from 2012 to 18. The 59-year-old's third term made him the longest-serving head of the government in Slovakia's history. Other news, an ultimatum raises pressure on Netanyahu to make post-war plans for Gaza, even as fighting rages. And members of Israel's war cabinet say that he'll quit, say that he'll quit on June the 8th unless there is a new war. I'll just tell you who that member is. Hope I can pronounce his name. Benny Gantz, he's a popular centrist member of the Israeli three-member war cabinet. He threatened on Saturday to resign from the government if it doesn't adopt a new plan in 3 weeks for the war for Gaza, a decision that would leave the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, more reliant on far-right, they call far-right, allies. The announcement deepened a divide in Israel's leadership more than 7 months into the war, in which Israel is set to accomplish its goals of dismantling Hamas and returning scores of hostages abducted in the militant group's October the 7th attack. My personal view on that is that the war can end very simply. Release the hostages, and this is what Hamas have to do, release all Israeli hostages and surrender, and then the war will be over. It's as simple as that, and that's the only way it can be done, in my opinion. All right, that is news from AP. We'll have a look at Australian news right after the break.
So I think we're going to get different pathogens. We already see the Nipah craze that was going on in India, and we've got a bunch of other toxins that are being discussed. Apocalypses have been overrated every time they've been promoted. And by the way, human history is filled with apocalypse forecasts, and they all suck. We forget that we have a conscious role to play in this. And if we give the frequency of evil the carrier frequency on which it can transmit, guess what will be transmitted? Evil.
Now this is a lead grape shot, and the reason it's called grape shot is because when it's actually together, it actually looks like a bunch of grapes. Now this is a 9-pound cannon charge with grape shot, consisting of a wooden standoff, 12 grape shot balls, all tied together with cordage, and it's cased in a canvas bag. Now the idea of this is when this is put into the cannon and fired, okay, the wood acts as a standoff to stop the ball expanding and blocking the barrel, exploding the barrel. Once it goes, then the flame of the cannon will actually burn away all the wood and the cordage. Now, we know that these were fired at the Battle of Waterloo that we used in the battlefield, because archaeologists have actually found grape shot on both sides, French and the British.
It isn't for the British government or any other government to tell the Israeli government how they should respond to the massacre of their civilians. But I do think it's important to just bear in mind that we can, in countries like Britain, or should, keep our own house in order. I see no reason why Britain should have, for so many years, been a retirement home for members of the revolutionary Islamic government in Tehran, one of whom, as I wrote about in the magazine recently, lives in Harrow. I see no reason why Hamas's backers should live in the UK, and I don't see any reason why their supporters should live in the UK. After Jews have been massacred for being Jews by Hamas in this ISIS-like fashion, treat the people who support that as we would the supporters of ISIS. And if you can't remove their citizenship and expel them from the UK, at least prosecute them and imprison them under the 2006 Terrorism Act for the glorification of terror.
17 minutes away from 7, that was Douglas Murray reporting there. Very good report from Douglas Murray. I think he's a correspondent for Sky News, certainly Sky News Australia as well. He's a writer, he's written an incredible book. It's called The War on the West, Douglas Murray. We're over now at abcnet.au, and news that's just in from them. In motorsport, Verstappen clings on to the best Norris, or to beat Norris by less than a second in Italy. Max Verstappen, he held off a surging Lando Norris to extend his lead in the World Championship as McLaren resurges to the front of the Formula One grid. Helicopter carrying President of Iran crashes. The Iranian officials say the lives of Mr. Raisi and Foreign Minister Hossein Abradollahian were at risk following the helicopter crash. A new report says that some banks are abandoning customers who ask for assistance. The new ASIC report says banks aren't doing what the law says they must do to help customers in trouble, as the proportions of borrowers in strife rise due to high interest rates, rocketing rents, and increasing cost of living. The worst risk of France launches a campaign against independent stronghold amid violent riots in New Caledonia. Foreign Minister Penny Wong says the Australian Defence Force is ready to fly to New Caledonia once the situation is safe, as France moves to quash the deadly riots. And a drug nobody should be using. test can finds dangerous synthetic opioid in Canberra for the first time. Canberra's drug testing site issues a red community notice on N-pyrrolidino. That's after identifying the dangerous synthetic opioid in granular brown powder presented for testing. Six people have been arrested after pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian demonstrations in Melbourne CBD. Several people have been arrested after a clash between the fighting forces, the factions, at this rally on Sunday. West Coast Eagles recruit charged after allegedly fleeing the scene of a ute crash. Police charge West Coast Eagles forward Tyler Brockman, alleging he fled after crashing his ute into a light post in Geraldton. Drivers in Central Coast, biggest winners from the Demerit Point Return Scheme. The Demerit Point Return Scheme was an election promise for the Minns government, designed to place a sharper focus on road safety amid last year's record-breaking death toll. A police officer was stabbed in the head in Sydney CBD, chased alleged attacker, before arresting him. The incident unfolded just after 1 p.m. when a 33-year-old man wielding a knife about 30 centimetres long confronted two police officers on traffic duties near Hyde Park, allegedly stabbing one of them multiple times in the head. The government wants to force energy retailers to give their cheapest deal with just one click. Last week's federal budget revealed a plan to force energy retailers to offer cheaper deals for customers, which with just one click, preventing contracts automatically rolling over to higher cost deals. Four women allegedly punched, slapped and pushed and spat and verbally abused on Sunday morning on their train ride. South Australian police are investigating after the four women were randomly assaulted by a man unknown to them. And Cameron Munster, he hobbles off with a groin injury in the Storm's thumping win over the Eels. Melbourne and Queensland superstar Cameron Munster aggravates his groin injury in the Storm's thumping win over Parramatta, casting his state of origin participation into doubt. Other sport, Eagles cause huge upset thanks to Reed brilliance as the power break Hawk hearts in final second. The power pull off, a great escape with the final second goal to beat Hawks as the Eagles done the Demons in Perth thanks to some Harley Road brilliance. Here we are. And growing up in tropical paradise, Sally amasses a large shell collection. Now she's writing the crime of the past. New South Wales-based artist Sally Clark spent her formative years on the Cocos, Keeling Islands, and amassed a vast shell collection. 40 years later, she wants to return what she took. Oh, good on you. That's nice. That is the news just in from abc.net.au. We'll have our news bulletin in just a moment. It's 13 minutes away from 7.
Is it possible to be Christian and a scientist at the same time?
Absolutely. I mean, I was a full-time practicing experimental scientist for over 20 years. And there's no conflict between experimental science and the Bible. There's a huge body of experimental science and none of it contradicts the Bible. The only contradiction is in the millions of years story, trying to pretend that we know what happened in the past based on things in the present. And there are many other scientists who are Christians and contributing to the scientific enterprise around the world, and many high-profile scientists indeed.
2 minutes away from 7, and New Zealand news. The Court of Appeal has overturned a High Court decision that set aside a summons to Children's Minister Karen Kaur to appear before the Waitangi Tribunal. The tribunal has issued the summons to Kaur to give evidence and answer questions about the government's decision to repeal Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, the Ministry for Children. The High Court had ruled that Kaur could not be compelled to appear, but the Court of Appeal has now overruled that decision. The tribunal's inquiry found that the proposed repeal would harm vulnerable children and breach the treaty principles. Labor has criticised the repeal of the bill, calling it callous, while ACT has accused the tribunal of overstepping its authority and becoming too activist. Media company Centrist says the Ministry for Children may be neglecting the safety of children, as evidenced by the international injury rates, which rose 45%, almost 13 acts from 2022 to 2023. They say data from Health New Zealand appears to confirm it is disproportionately Maori children being hospitalised due to domestic violence. New Zealand explores options for citizens stranded in riot-torn New Caledonia. Amidst deadly riots in New Caledonia, the New Zealand government is considering all options to assist stranded citizens, including potential Air Force or commercial airline evacuations. Foreign Minister Winston Peters stresses the priority on safety and staying in place while addressing the food and travel challenges faced by New Zealanders on the island. Peru's government has officially classified transgender, non-binary and intersex people as mentally ill. The country's Ministry of Health says the move is so that public health services could guarantee full coverage of medical attention for mental health for LGBTQ plus people who need it. Peru's Ministry of Health claims the policy change is to enable healthcare coverage for transsexual people and people with gender identity disorders, particularly in private clinics. Before the latest move, lawmakers had changed reference to gender equality in school textbooks following protests over the text encouraging young people to have freedom to choose their sexual orientation. According to Human Rights Watch, the call is a bigoted move. They say the decree employs obsolete classifications related to gender identity and sexual orientation. They cite the World Health Organization, which in 2019 declared its International Manual of Diagnosis would no longer refer to transgenderism as a mental disorder. MPs have attacked the Waitangi Tribunal's increasingly activist approach. The Waitangi Tribunal is facing renewed criticism from senior ministers, including ACT leader David Seymour and New Zealand First Shane Jones. According to ACT MP Todd Stevenson, the increasingly activist tribunal appears to regard itself as a parallel government that can intervene in the elected government's policy making. However, treaty and legal experts within Māoridom argue the tribunal is currently fulfilling its 1975 mandate. The coalition agreement has included in it a review aiming to realign the tribunal with its original intent. The tribunal's urgent inquiry, one of six the national-led coalition took to power, its proposed changes to Orangi Tamariki Act, the Ministry for Children, has been particularly thorny. Seymour has suggested winding up the tribunal, while Jones has called for a review to refocus its scope. He accused it of running a kind of wannabe American star chamber pulp fiction gig in comments to Wātea News. Supporters argue that despite criticism, the tribunal's role in addressing historical grievances and informing public on treaty issues is crucial. Yet Radio New Zealand journalist Alice Stewart admits it's all up to the stormy outlook for the tribunal in its work. The government's Māori wards may breach the Treaty of Waitangi. According to the Waitangi Tribunal, which claims that the government's plan to require referendums on Māori wards undermines representation and exposing communities to prejudice. The tribunal wants to amend the amendment process halted and for the government to consult with Māori. Officials in Slovakia are investigating whether the attacker who shot the Prime Minister was not a lone wolf. The Interior Minister, Matus Istok, issued the update on Sunday after the suspect was previously believed to be a lone wolf. The team for the Prime Minister, Robert Fico, says his condition is no longer life-threatening but is still very serious. Deputy Prime Minister Robert Kalanick issued the update 4 days after the assassination attempt on the populist leader. The 59-year-old Prime Minister was shot multiple times on Wednesday in an attack that raised fresh concerns over the polarisation of politics in the Central European country of 5.4 million people. That's the news. We'll have the short forecast for you in just a moment. It's 6 minutes away from seven.
I really don't want to hear Allahu Akbar shouted again on my streets. It's a war cry. The Hamas terrorists are shouting Allahu Akbar all the way through, all the way through, as they are using a shovel to decapitate a young man. With every blow of the shovel, they shout Allahu Akbar. When they go in to rape and murder all these young women in a room, they're shouting Allahu Akbar the whole time. When they find a young woman hiding under a table, pretending to be dead, and they realize she's alive, and they begin killing her, they're shouting Allahu Akbar all the time. And they're so elated. And they phone home. One disgusting young Hamas guy shouts from the phone of one of his victims, his father in Gaza, saying, I have killed with my own hands 10 Jews. Your son has killed 10 Jews. And the mother is put on the phone and they're all shouting Allahu Akbar and they're so proud of him.
Indescribable.
That's Douglas Murray. 5 minutes away from seven, and now the short forecast. Firstly, for Northland, Auckland and Coromandel. Mainly fine weather today. Cloudy periods and a few showers later on in the day. Rain spreading south from tomorrow afternoon with some heavy falls possible in Northland. For Waikato, the Bay of Plenty, south to Horopunua, fine weather, areas of fog tomorrow morning. Gisborne, Hawke's Bay and the Wairarapa, mostly cloudy with a few showers in Hawke's Bay and Gisborne with isolated showers in the Wairarapa. For Kapiti to Wellington, also for Marlborough and Nelson, long fine spells. For Buller, Westland, mostly cloudy. Periods of rain in Westland and the odd shower about Buller. Remaining rain clearing from Westland later on today. For Canterbury, partly cloudy today. Isolated showers tomorrow. For Otago and Southland and Fiordland, rain and clearing with fine weather this evening. Scattered rain later on tomorrow. And the Chatham Islands, cloudy periods. We'll be back in a moment, 4 minutes away from seven. We'll be back with a repeat of On This Day in History.
Israel is the size of the state of New Jersey. So there are 21 Arab countries in the region, one Jewish state, and for some reason Israel is the big bad wolf. You can barely find it on the map. It's a tiny piece of land. The Jordan River over there to the east and the Mediterranean Sea. When people say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they mean that piece of land completely clean. So ethnically cleansing the Jews from their ancestral land. Why is this anti-Semitic? It's anti-Semitic because if you don't allow only the Jewish people to have a state, if you're anti-Zionist, you're saying, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm just an anti-Zionist. Well, then which other country would you like to dismantle? Usually the answer to that is none, just Israel. So people that are obsessing over Israel are anti-Semitic, and that means cleansing that particular piece of land, which is the Jewish people's ancestral land.
It would be very similar, but not nearly as commentary as to say get everything from the Atlantic to Pacific, south of Canada, north of Mexico.
Yeah, America will be free.
2 minutes, 3 minutes away from seven with Grant Edwards, and we'll have a look at see what happened on this day in history, the 20th of May, and then we'll follow up that with a very interesting post by Dr. Sherry. What's her name? Sherry Trotter, to do with the statement the Maori Party made over the war in Israel with Hamas terrorists and other terrorists. So we'll do that right after this. So hang around for that just after seven. Today is the 20th of May, of course, and on this day in 1773, New Zealand's first sheep were released. During his second visit to New Zealand in 1773, Captain James Cook released a ewe and a ram in Queen Charlotte Sound. They survived only a few days, an inauspicious start to this country's long association with sheep. Also on this day in 1865, the loss of the City of Dunedin with all hands. The paddle steamer City of Dunedin left Wellington at 5 o'clock on Saturday 20th of May. It was never heard from again, and no trace was ever found of the 4 dozen people on board. In 1870, Pacifica labourers arrived in Auckland on this day. New Zealand received its first known shipment of labourers from the Pacific Islands when the clipper schooner Lulu docked in the Waitemata Harbour. And finally, in 1941 on this day, German paratroopers land on Crete. The battle for Crete raged for 12 days before the Allies were driven off the island. Casualties were high on both sides, with more than 650 New Zealanders killed and 2,000 taken prisoner. Well, that's this day in history. We'll be back with Dr. Sherry Trotter right after the break. It's 1 minute away from seven.
Doesn't ice core dating prove that the Earth is older than the Bible says it is?
Well, the deep time dating of the ice cores is based on correlations with the seafloor sediments, because you can't actually see annual layers, the time frame they're claiming, hundreds of thousands or millions of years. And so they're trying to correlate it with seafloor dating, but the trouble is the seafloor sediments are not millions of years old. There's manganese nodules at the top of the sediments in the seafloor, which, and then it actually decreases as you go down, and very few down deep. If this was laid down slowly and gradually over millions of years, there'd be manganese nodules all the way through. So I recommend this, look up manganese nodules on creation.com, and you'll find the strong evidence that the seafloor sediments are all wrong. So therefore, the ice core dating is wrong, and the whole thing's very questionable.
Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM. The Wireless.
I was extremely disappointed to hear the Radio New Zealand interview today with Te Pāti Māori leader Debi Ngāru Opeka. The struggle with Hamas is not about colonisation. Israel completely left Gaza in 2005, completely left every Israeli, every Jewish settlement, was forcibly removed by Israel so they could hand control over to the people of Gaza. They were effectively giving the Gazans their rangatiratanga. And what happened? They voted into power Hamas, a terrorist entity who took over Gaza and turned it into a terrorist enclave. Who is Hamas? Hamas is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. It's a radical Islamist group that shares the values of the Muslim Brotherhood. It is backed by Iran and funded by Qatar. There are similar movements throughout the Middle East. They're connected to Hezbollah in the north, who are currently firing on Israel. They all have the same ideology. Their goal is to annihilate Israel. It is written in their charter. That is their goal. That is what they've been trying to do for the past 16 years. That is what they were trying to do on the 7th of October. They went into Jewish communities with the intention to kill as many Jews as possible. That is genocide. To compare what Hamas is doing with what the IDF is doing is morally reprehensible. Hamas has in its charter their desire to annihilate Israel. They are a radical Islamist group. That's what they're trying to do. Israel believes in the principles, the value of life. They do everything possible to save civilian life. They never target civilians. They target terrorist infrastructure. They warn civilians. They try to allow civilians to leave. What we have seen in the last couple of weeks is the difference between Hamas, that uses its people as human shields, and Israel, that tries to protect civilian lives, the lives of its own people, as well as the lives of the Palestinians. Israel gave warning to the people to leave because they were going to target terrorist infrastructure. Hamas set up roadblocks to stop their own people from leaving. Why is that? Because Hamas is a radical Islamist group that does not value life, does not value the lives of its own people. They use their people as human shields. They store their weapons in hospitals, in schools. To compare the two is morally reprehensible. To accuse Israel of genocide, colonization, and apartheid, as Debi has done, is reality inversion. There is no apartheid in Israel. 20% of the population are Arabs. They have equal rights. They have the same freedoms as every other person in Israel. They're successful in society. They're in all parts of society. They are doctors, lawyers, judges, teachers, right throughout society. The only apartheid you will see is in Gaza and in some parts of the West Bank, where Jews are forbidden to enter, and if they do, they risk being killed. That is the only apartheid that actually exists in Israel. Israel is not committing genocide. Hamas has committed genocide. Israel does not support apartheid. Hamas does, and some of the Palestinian territories do. They want to cleanse the entire area of Jews. That's what the river to the sea means. It's a call for genocide. It is the Jews who are the indigenous people of the land. They have more than a 3,500-year continuous connection with that land. It is the land where their unique culture, their religion, their language developed. The Arabs are in fact indigenous to Arabia. Jews have experienced all the struggles of indigenous peoples: expulsion from their land, dispossession, persecution, pogroms, and yet they have managed to be restored to their ancient ancestral homeland. This should be an inspiration for indigenous peoples, and in fact has been an inspiration to Māori, especially from the 19th century even to today. Many Māori resonate with the story of the Israelites. You look at some of our Māori prophetic movements like Ratana, Iharaira, Ringatū. There is a strong connection to Israel, which is there even to today. The only people to have ever had sovereignty in the land are the Jewish people. They have three times had sovereignty in that land prior to 1948. It is their ancestral homeland, and the Arabs of that period recognised it and acknowledged it. The kind of inflammatory rhetoric that the Māori Party is spouting is irresponsible. Calling Israel evil is demonising and dehumanising, and it has a direct impact on the lives of Jews everywhere. The small Jewish community in New Zealand is a vulnerable community, and they are being subject to targeting, to intimidation, because of this kind of rhetoric that is not based on history or fact, but actually is Hamas propaganda. I call on the Māori Party to look into the history, to hear the other side of the story, to meet with Jewish people to understand what they are experiencing right now. They have just experienced the worst slaughter in one day since the Holocaust.
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless.